Welcome back to the Deepdale Podcast, our magazine program about North Norfolk. It's August 2025, the sun is shining, the temperatures are high, and the beautiful North Norfolk coast is as stunning as ever. This month, I chat with two locals who love this beautiful part of the world. First up, I join John Thompson on the Welcome Ferry that runs out of Burnham Overy Staithe, running visitors to Scolthead Island and Gun Hill. And then I sit on Brangster Staithe Hard, chatting with Annalisa Dovey about Brangster Boards, who run stand-up paddleboarding tours of the harbour. And then lastly, the tables are turned on me as BBC Radio Norfolk have kindly allowed us to include Rosanna Tennant's interview, where she invited me onto her radio show to chat about Norfolk as part of the Norfolk Day celebrations. We hope you enjoy the listen and discover even more about North Norfolk. Don't forget, there is an ever-growing back catalogue of episodes to listen to. If you enjoy listening, then please do tell your family and friends. And if you have a moment, please leave a review on your favourite podcast app or directory.
Skies all open wide, geese go high and over. Oh, now you're a beachcomber, fistful of samphire, sea lavender. See ya next year.
I am out in the wilds. I am in Burnham Overy Staithe, and I am with a lovely man called John on his fabulous little ferry that he runs out to the Scolthead Island. He's already told me he's not a massive fan of being on podcasts, but that's fine. That is absolutely fine, because we're just going to have a chat about how the ferry came about, the beautiful island that he takes people out to. It's a £10 return from the Staithe, or you can do one way. It's just such a stunning little harbour. It's the sister harbour to Brangster Staithe, which Deepdale overlooks, because they share Scolthead Island as the sort of outer barrier of the two harbours, and you can sail between the two on a very high tide through the Nod Creek. And it is a really stunningly beautiful place. It's a very quiet little harbour. What you can't believe is, in Nelson's time, he used to come to Brangster Staithe because that was a nice quiet harbour, and this was too busy for him, Burnham Overy. Whereas Burnham Overy now is definitely the quieter of the two, although it's got a really lovely atmosphere. And the boathouse, which you heard Rosemary Newport chatting outside of a couple of podcasts ago, that is now a sort of a charitable trust and is home to lots of very traditional coastal activities such as sail repairs and that kind of thing. So John, hello. Welcome to the Deepdale Podcast.
Hello, how are you?
Good, very good.
Good.
How did this ferry come about? Like, you know, how did you end up doing this?
So, go back lots of years. My great-grandfather run one of the original ferries, taking supplies down to Gun Hill, back when there were houses on there. And then it missed a couple of generations. And then I thought I'd had enough of the 9-to-5 and thought I'd give it a go myself.
What was work before spending your time in this beautiful part of the world?
I used to spend a lot of my time investigating RTCs on National Highway roads.
Okay, so this is definitely a more chilled place to be.
Yeah, it's by far a much better job, if you can call it a job. It's not really a job. Riding around in a boat talking to people is not a job. But yeah, it's definitely better than working on the roads.
So when in the year do you run the ferry?
So traditionally, it's sort of May until October. We have run all year before, and we probably will this year, unless something really interesting comes in that takes my fancy, then we will run all year.
Excellent. And do people need to book? Do they just turn up? Do they? How does it work?
The best thing is to go on our Instagram, check our travelling times, and then it's just a case of turning up. There's no need to book. As long as you can get your heads around the times when we travel, then yeah, it's just turn up. But by all means, feel free to send a message and ask us when we're travelling.
So does it run for roughly sort of 2 hours before, 2 hours after the tide-ish, something like that?
Yeah, it's definitely ish. We aim for 2 hours before and 2 hours after. Until I can control the tides, one day I will be able to, but until I can until I control the tides, then yeah, it's 2 hours before, 2 hours after, ish.
Yeah, and in case you're wondering about the ish, it's basically because the weather has quite a big impact on the tides in a small harbour like this. Sometimes there's not as much water as you expect. Sometimes there's significantly more water than you expect. Of course, the ferry and other boats can only really move in the harbour while the tide is actually up and there's enough water to move around. Where are we right now? Which part of the harbour? Is this the kind of the creek that heads out?
It is indeed. We're actually now going over one of the favourite swimming spots, which is called Bank Hole or Dead Man's Hole, which is swimmable when the tide's out. But yeah, we're now heading out sort of halfway down towards the island.
And there's no lifeguards based in Burnham Overy, but the great thing is from Burnham Overy Staithe is the sort of the hard where you that people launch from. You can walk down from there, just down the creek as if you're heading out into the harbour, and there's some lovely swimming spots in the harbour, just like there is in Brankster Staithe, and they're fed by springs, so they nearly always have water in them throughout the day, even when the tide is out. Whereabouts do you head to on the island? Is it so the end of the beach?
Yeah, so we on the island, our main drop off is the east end, which is probably the nicest bit. That's the one with the most sand, probably the clearest water, the best swimming area, the best bit of dunes you can get out of the wind if it's windy. And we also sometimes drop off on Gun Hill, which is a bit tricky in early summer due to the birds nesting, but we will drop off on Gun Hill as well. As long as the tide's not too high and we can avoid dropping into the birdery, then yeah, we drop off on Gun Hill as well.
Fabulous, that's really beautiful. And if you haven't been out on this little ferry and been out to Skulhead Island, you really are, well, you're just missing one of the best places in North Norfolk, I think. You know, I think it's one of the best beaches in Europe. It's absolutely stunning. And I've landed on it a few times, not necessarily on purpose in a sailing boat, after we've broken various bits of our boat or capsized and had to sort of sort ourselves out. And you stand on the beach and you just think, why is nobody here? This is absolutely incredible. But this way is much more sedate and much more relaxed, and you can take wheelchairs on here as well, I see.
Yeah, we do. We can get wheelchairs, pushchairs, no problem. Wheelchairs can be sometimes a bit tricky to land on the beach, depending on the height of the tide. There's a nice shingly area which is okay for wheelchairs, but yeah, we're more than happy to take wheelchairs on here.
And I guess pneumatic tyre wheelchairs will be a lot easier to shift around if once you get to the island.
Yeah, the bigger the tyres, the better, pretty much. There is...
that's right, that's one of the nautical sounds as the CB kicks in.
Yeah, the bigger the tyre, the better. But yeah, we take plenty of wheelchairs down. But I mean, if someone wants a little tiny tour with just a wheelchair, then we can do that. But yeah, it's perfectly possible to drop wheelchairs off onto the island.
So you act as a ferry, but you can also do sort of harbour tours with this?
Yeah, we do indeed, out of season, so sort of October onwards. Yeah, we're more than happy to do tours. We even do, not as much point saying on here because they sell out straight away, but we do bird watching tours. We also do yoga in the mornings, but yeah, they sell out quite quick, so yeah, that's not advertising this, it's just giving you an idea of what we do.
So if you do want to do those, you need to be in touch a long time in advance. So who runs your yoga trips, or is that you?
Oh, 100%. If people listen to this and then they come see me, they will know 100% that I don't do the yoga. No, we have a professional called Rachel who takes the yoga tours.
Fantastic. People want to book for a bird watching tour, specific, you know, like a private one. How many people can you take?
So we kind of limit, normally the ferry, so if it's just ferry in service, then that's 11 passengers. But for any kind of tours, we kind of stick to around 6 or 8 just to make it more comfortable on the boat. It gives people a bit more freedom. Yeah, if anyone ever does want to book it up, just keep an eye on our Instagram.
You post kind of every week, don't you, about what your next couple of weeks of sailing times are. And we do try and repost those as Deepdale so people kind of can see them. If you can't imagine what's out here, basically, as you come up the creek from the harbour, you come out into a beautiful sort of open water area. You've got Skulhead Island in the distance with its sandspit island. You've got various little huts and sand dunes, and you've got salt marshes with at this time of year they're sort of a purpley haze to them because of the beautiful sea lavender and other flowering plants on there. And it is just absolutely stunning. The sand is just saying, come and enjoy me. And today is the perfect day because we've got stunning blue skies. There's a few sailing boats out. How proactive is the sailing club here?
They do a bit, probably 15 races a year, and then so they get about, usually on a Saturday morning they'll do them. And yeah, and then we also have a sailing school as well, so yeah, there's lots of sailing boats about.
Yeah, behind us there's a whole lot more sailing boats as well. Like there looks like yeah, some lasers out and various other... I don't know, what's the one with the blue sail? I don't even recognise that one.
That would be a Pico.
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah. Takes me back to my youth when I had time to go and potter around on a boat whenever I wanted to. It was absolutely fantastic. So we're just heading out through the little channel that is the entrance to the harbour. We've got Skulhead Island over to our left. Some people are enjoying the sun. It's quite windy today, as you can probably hear. I'm actually wearing a fleece, which I didn't expect to be wearing, but it's you need to remember layers when you come out to the Skulhead Island, because even on a stunningly beautiful day, if the wind gets up, it can you can find it a little bit chilly. But basically, you've got the Skulhead Island, which comes out as a sand spit. The dunes come to an end, and then there's sort of a sand spit that comes out, which sort of disappears and reappears depending on the tide. I can see the white horses breaking on the bar that is the entrance to the harbour. Then we've got the dunes and salt marshes that kind of form right round towards Holcombe and Wells Beach on our right. And it's today you just couldn't have a more beautiful time to come and visit this fabulous, fabulous part of the world. There's lots of birds playing in the wake. Yeah, I can sort of see why you quite like coming out here. It's not, as you say, it'd be hard to describe it as a tough job, wouldn't it, really?
Definitely. This is not a job. I've had some jobs and this is definitely not a job. It's just, I mean, don't get me wrong, I work hard for your satisfaction, but you know.
Yeah, he doesn't want to undersell his services because they are fantastic. And it's so easy. You don't have to bring a car. You can just jump on the Lynx bus from Burnham Deepdale, come to Burnham Overy. He'll drop you off here. You can walk down to the harbour. It's, 3 minutes walk from the bus stop. And John, the boat will either be on the harbour, waiting on the hard, waiting for you, or he will be on his way back in fairly soon. Basically, you just hang around on the hard till he comes, and then you can head out to the island. Just bear in mind that the island has absolutely no facilities of any shape or form. So basically, if you are coming out to Skulhead Island, you need to bring everything you require, and I mean everything. And now you can really hear the wind breaking in. Coming straight head first, and it's I'm going to turn around and hopefully this will be slightly better with my back to it. it seemed so innocuous when we left the hard, and it's quite windy out here now. Wow. Yes, and like I said, you definitely need to bring layers, bring a wind cheater, bring a fleece, just have something that you can, so you don't get chilly, especially if you're going to be doing some swimming, which is absolutely beautiful, but you do need to make sure you've got everything you need with you, towels and all the rest, because it's quite a long wait if you've just missed the last ferry and you're waiting to walk back. And you can walk back from the island quite easily. You just need to be aware of springs, which you don't want to fall in. Just be aware of the tides. John was saying that he uses our tides page on the Deepdale website, which we get from the Admiralty. Those tides are all up to date with all the information. And just be conscious of when they are. You can tell from the boats in the harbour that are moored. As long as they're not moored front and back, they will turn with the tide. And you can see which way they're pointing, and that definitely helps to see whether the tide is going out or whether it's coming in. And that's definitely a useful tool. So in terms of Gun Hill, how long does it take to get out to Gun Hill from the Hard?
By boat?
Yeah.
I mean, 15 minutes, that's all. Yeah, it's not long. And the great thing with Gun Hill, so if you fancy a boat ride and a walk, you go on Gun Hill, and then Gun Hill is walkable, or walk. You can walk back to Burnham Overy any time from Gun Hill. It's about a mile and a half, so depend on how long your legs are, 45 minutes. But yeah, you can walk back any time from Gun Hill, which is quite nice. Whereas obviously the island, if you want to walk back from the island, we kind of roughly say another 2 hours after we've finished operating, and then it should be a safe enough walk. It's kind of shin deep at the worst. You might get a little bit muddy in the middle, but other than that, yeah, that's quite a nice walk as well.
Yeah, it's a beautiful walk. Yeah, there's no way to get back from Scotthead Island at either Brancaster Staithe or Burnham Overy Staithe without getting a bit muddy and a bit wet on the way back. You do have to cross some creeks, and you have to be prepared to get a little bit mucky. But it is absolutely stunning. But the from Gun Hill, you get the most amazing views and see the curve of Holcombe Bay, which is really beautiful. It's a great place to picnic. And then it's a lovely walk along the coastal footpath back to Burnham Overy Staithe. And that actually takes you all the way from Burnham Overy Staithe back to Burnham Deepdale as well, if you wanted to walk that. So you could catch the bus along to Burnham Overy, catch the boat out to Gun Hill, and then you could take the... take the coastal footpath back, and that would be a fabulous day. But you do need to get your timings right, because if the tide's later in the day, you'll run out of time. So we're now heading through all the little moored boats. I see they leave you a massive gap to manoeuvre through, but yeah, John's bringing his boat through down to the Hard to check to see if anybody's waiting for the ferry out to the harbour. It looks like you've probably got some customers there. Can't be sure. And there's some cars that definitely look like they might get wet fairly soon as well. There's various people out boating. Lots of beautiful clinker-built boats in the harbour. People are preparing for their lovely morning and on the water. So there's a nice queue of people waiting to catch the ferry, which is fantastic. You can hear the ramp going down at the front. And we're pulling up onto the Hard. I think I will leave John in peace, and I will say ta-ra to him. He can take some customers over to the Scotthead Island. Should be beautiful. Thank you so much, man. Really nice to chat with you.
And you. It's quite nice. Yeah, hopefully it's given people a good insight as to what we do and what the island's like.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And yeah, I hope it's a very busy season for you. But, you know, waving at people rather than having to worry about anything else. So it's brilliant. Thank you so much.
Fingers crossed, hey. Fingers crossed it is a good one. And, yeah, everyone stay safe. And thank you.
Have the most beautiful office this afternoon. I am sitting down at Brancaster Staithe Harbour. You'll hopefully already listened to the chat with John on the Welcome Ferry that runs out of Burnham Overy Staithe, which is the other side of the Nod, which is the sort of sister harbour. They share Scotthead Island as their outer wall of both harbours. And I'm speaking to Annalise Dovey, who runs really very chilled and very beautiful paddleboarding trips out into the harbour, as well as other things. And I'm hoping she's going to tell me a bit about what she does and how people can get involved, and also her love of this beautiful part of the world and how she sort of ended up back here during the days of the dreaded COVID. So welcome to Deep Dive Podcast. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's beautiful here. I'm very glad to be able to talk about it.
And we've got lots of seagulls pottering around. You might hear of them, one or two of them sort of telling us off. The tide's out, so that's why I've got Annalise here, because normally she would be out on the tide with her paddleboards and a tour group. So it's quite nice to have actually found a point in the day where she's actually at rest rather than off doing stuff. But we're looking at lots of boats of all shapes and sizes moored up, most of them lying on their sides or on their bellies because the tide is out. And this place is just so different at high tide. You know, the tide comes racing in down the creek. A lot of the cars that we'll see parked here will hopefully have worked out that they need to move. Otherwise, they will be written off quite quickly. The fishing boats you'll see kind of piling in and out, going off and getting their mussels and their lobsters and things like that. But Annalise, you started the supboarding. Was supboarding something that you were doing before you came back?
Yeah, so I used to kite surf very much so competitively around the world. And then on the flip side of that, paddleboarding is something you can do when the wind is not absolutely howling. So I'd been doing it for a really long time. And initially I started off helping at North Shore, Simon's place, and he now does wing foiling as well over there. And then I set up here in the harbour for myself to run tours because it's just beautiful, but it's such a delicate ecosystem environment here, and there's so many other boats going on that it felt really important to get an established place where people could go out safely and enjoy it and learn the little kind of idiosyncrasies that you need to have around here. Just like, don't launch yourself behind a working engine on a boat, things like that, just to keep it safe. And then we get out into the salt marsh and it's just fantastic. It's the most beautiful place for paddleboarding.
Yeah, if you look on social media, Annalise has the most stunning little videos. We share a lot of them as Deepdale, but I can't actually share as many as she posts. But somehow she always manages to get blue skies and stunningly gorgeous weather. I think maybe she's got a bank of them from previous trips. Somehow she manages to organise it, but it is really beautiful. And the great thing is like you're away from the thoroughfare where a lot of the boats are, and she takes you down these smaller creeks that you just probably as a newbie to the harbour, you definitely wouldn't probably have the knowledge or the confidence to go and explore yourself. Even though you were traveling all over the world doing boarding, was this a home, kind of this was connected anyway?
Well, yes. First of all, this is one of the best places for kite surfing. So I've got to say that over at Brancaster's world class. It's renowned for it. And the summer here is unparalleled. So I'd go travelling sort of the winter months when it's not so friendly to get in the sea here. And then I'd always come back. Initially, I was working away just on various things, UKSA, working in Brighton. And I'd come back for the summer and just work for other people here. And then, yeah, I packed it all in to go travelling. COVID happened and I got here and I was like, well, it kind of all... horrible to say, it all worked out rather well for me. So I ended up doing the paddleboard tours, and of course everybody wanted it when we were allowed out. Everybody wanted to really maximize their time in the water, and it felt really nice when the whole world was kind of going mad and really suffering to be able to just get out and be peaceful for 2 hours completely safely and securely. So it was a really wonderful thing to have happening at that time. And now we get people going back every year, like it's marked in their annual calendar, they must come back and do it again. So it's just lovely.
That's fantastic. And when people come, can they bring their own kit and you can sort of teach them about that, or can they hire the kit, or how does it work?
So we do both. We have really great boards. We've got Starboard and Red, Red Paddle Co. And within the community, there's kind of an argument, Starboard are best, no, Red are best. So we just thought we'd get 6 of each, split the difference. And they are really good boards. But a lot of people don't have that budget, and that's completely fine. The cheaper ones are still good, and people can come along and we can take them out and show them how to use them safely. Just things like pumping them up, they go so much harder than people think they should. And you're pumping away and you think they're rock solid and actually the needle hasn't started to move yet. So things like that, how to fix your fins on properly, how to size up properly. A lot of them bend quite a lot and you must go a lot bigger than people sometimes think that they need to. But yeah, very welcome to bring your own kit. And still join a tour. There's a small fee still for joining the tour for the guide's knowledge and their experience. Or you're welcome to use our kit. either way. And sometimes it's nice to bring your own board and have a little swap with the instructor to see what might, you know, what the difference might be.
And bear in mind this will probably go out in sort of early August. How late in the season do you run the tours, or can you do private ones quite late?
We stop it as soon as the school holidays finish, because we've discovered over the years that September month is dead. Everyone's sort of activitied themselves out over August. And by the time you get to October, because of the tides here and the shortening days, it's very hard to get a tide that fits within daylight that doesn't have miserable windy weather. And we can't paddle in wind. It's just not safe. You just get blown everywhere and it's deeply miserable. So we've just discovered that sort of the first week of September is a natural cessation of the season, and then we get started again in May.
Where do people head to if they want to book and find out more information?
Oh, that's super easy. It's brancasterboards.com, because we're in Brancaster and we do boards, so it's it's kind of a Von Seal title. I didn't want to go too creative with it. So brancasterboards.com, Google will bring it up, or that will take you straight to it, and my phone number is on there, and there's an online booking platform. We do this thing where you can pay a deposit to reserve your space if the weather is bad and you're not going to enjoy it, or if the weather is bad and we decide to cancel it because it's not going to be safe. So for example, if it's over 12 knots, we just fully refund you. We can offer you an alternative session if you like, but there's no quibble on it. Like, we're not going to ask you to financially be forced onto the water in bad conditions. That would be daft. So yeah, you can book well in advance with no fear about that.
And in terms of the North Norfolk coast and Brancaster and stuff, if you had to pick a sort of a favourite spot, you know, and I know that's unfair, it's like choosing sort of from, you know, from multiple children, bearing in mind we all sort of love lots of different places. But is there a place that people should not miss?
For paddleboarding?
You can pick. You have one for paddleboarding and one for just visiting by foot.
Okay, so for paddleboarding, one to not miss is when we get the big spring tides and the Brancaster Beach Road floods, is we take a back creek route. And there's two amazing things. One is paddling along the flooded road. That's always fun, especially if a car has got stuck, because you can kind of circle round and round it, not laughing, obviously, not at all having a sneaky chuckle. But on the way to that creek, there's this very narrow bit. It's about 3 foot wide, and it's got reeds well higher than your head, and it kind of feels almost Amazonian in its wilderness. Like, it's really transportative how far away from normal life it feels on that little corner. I think it's my favourite corner in the whole of the harbour, for just being so very different and secluded and wild. So that'd be my paddleboarding top tips. Where else would you have to, if you're in Norfolk and you had to visit somewhere? I mean, Brancaster Beach, it's got to be, right? But maybe like if you walk down before the road gets flooded to the beach, so it's completely and utterly empty and you have it to yourself and you can go for a swim. Or yeah, if you walk out to Gun Hill and go off Burnham Overy onto the back of the beach, where it's kind of really empty and very wild still. And I think that's, yeah, those places are just beautiful. Oh, one other. Last 2 weeks, first 2 weeks of August, we get bioluminescence in the sea. Can't miss going for a swim at midnight. It's got to be pitch dark, but it is just one of Brancaster's worst kept secrets now.
I remember as a kid, we used to go out and have a sneaky barbecue on the Nod. You know, don't tell anybody. Yeah, and I think various fathers would tip the harbour master with a couple of pints in the sailing club, and just make him aware that you know there might be some late night boat movement. We'd head out, and I just remember kind of leaning over the front of the boat with my sort of fingers in the water watching the bioluminescence, and oh my word, it was just so beautiful, absolutely stunning. And you can't really describe it to anybody until you see it, you know. And I just remember those late, and we were probably shattered, and we were coming back late at night, and it was probably only 9 o'clock, and we were thinking it was as late as late could be, but it was just absolutely stunning. But this, I think the thing that you'll have heard from all of the conversations that I've had with all the various different people over the last few months is that the Norfolk coast is ever changing. And so, you know, where a boat is sat now, it may sit in the thoroughfare going out. in a few months' time after a storm, it may be up on a sand dune, which has moved and shifted, and the channels have moved, and it's not a static place by any means, and different wildlife. And when you first look out onto the marshes, you often think it's a dead place. You know, there's not much happening there. But then once you go out and when you go out with someone like Annalise and they explain what you're seeing, or you head out on one of the Emily and Rosie's sort of swims and stuff, they will tell you about the place in a way that you probably won't notice with a novice's eye. But once you start seeing it, it's the most stunningly beautiful place. And that's why people like Annalise and me and Rosie and people have all come back here and keep coming back and feel very comfortable here. And it's one, I think the best thing now is being able to see so many of our generation being able to run businesses here and actually have worked out ways to be in harmony with the place, but still be able to make a living, which is great.
Yeah, it's really nice. There's also a really nice community along here with business people that are running, helping each other out. I think that's really nice. Like, there's not like, oh my God, this is my spot. It's so much more collaborative. Even you've got the Norfolk Paddleboard boys over at Burnham Overy, Steve. They're great. They go straight out to the Burnham Overy beach there. That's not to be missed. That's a great little tour. But we'll often be on the phone to each other like, how's your season going? You know, just the weather's being a bit rubbish. Obviously, we never have rubbish weather here. It's always perfect. Yeah, you said I always have pictures of blue skies. It's not true. I put some up yesterday of us playing games with grey skies. But when it's grey skies, we play a lot more games. When it's blue skies, everyone just sits and chills and like soaks it up. So.
And the nice thing is you can fall in here and you can probably stand up in quite a lot of the places. Real high tide, there's quite a lot of places you can't. But, you know, you don't need to be a really confident person to kind of come out and love this harbour on something like a paddleboarding trip. It's really worth coming and exploring, being shown around, and come with someone like Annalise who knows the area and can really show you to it. Well, thank you so much for joining me. Really lovely to have you on here. I'm very pleased to say this is Annalise's first podcast, so this could be a novel experience. I think it might be the first one she ever listens to, and it might be, well, she may just say, no, I'm on it. I'm definitely not listening to it. It's been really nice to have you, and please do look on our website, deepdalecamping.co.uk. We have a water sports page, and Annalise is front and centre there with some beautiful photos and all of her contact information, and we have a load of other all sorts of weird and wonderful activities happening all along the coast. So please do take a look at that website. Head to Annalise's website, branksterboards.com. We will carry on the conversations. I hope we'll see you on a supboard out in the harbour in the very near future. Cheers. Thank you, Annalise.
Thank you. It's been wonderful.
It's Rosanna Tennant with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon, and I'm sitting in for Kaylee Poacher. And it's Norfolk Day on Sunday, so we are celebrating everything our wonderful county has to offer. And we like to celebrate Norfolk every day here at BBC Radio Norfolk, but today we are really going for it. If you're new to the county, or perhaps you just haven't heard of Norfolk Day before, we celebrate it every year on July the 27th, and businesses, charities, communities all come together to celebrate everything that makes Norfolk brilliant. And as always, in the summer, there is plenty to do and see during the weekend. So I'd love you to tell me where your favourite places are around the county. Perhaps you have a favourite walk or a favourite place to go and stay, maybe a staycation. And if you're into your camping, then my next guest could have the perfect place for you to check out. Jason Porthwick is from Deepdale Camping. Jason, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. The sun was shining this morning on my way to work. I imagine it's looking rather glorious up in Burnham Market.
Yes, yeah, no, yeah, Brankster Station, Burnham Deepdale in the sun as the tide comes in. Can't be beaten, really. It's just beautiful.
That whole stretch of coastline is just so stunning. And actually, even on a sort of gloomy day, it's rather beautiful as well. It's sort of almost ominous, but you want to just sit and take it all in, don't you?
Yeah, I think everybody thinks that it's the perfect place to be during the summer, but actually I think some of the days I've spent sort of walking along the coastline or across the marshes in the winter are some of the nicest I've ever had, really. You know, the space is just amazing.
We're so lucky. Obviously, we're celebrating Norfolk because it's Norfolk Day on Sunday, but it is the most beautiful county. And a lot of people nowadays, you know, it's expensive to travel far away. Perhaps they're considering a staycation. Deepdale Camping could be the perfect place to go. Tell me a little bit about what you offer your guests and visitors.
So we have a range of different sized pitches. We don't take caravans, but we do take camper vans, motorhomes, tents, roof tents, and we even have a special hammock space. We have
Wow.
sort of a range of camping pitches. So we have everything from kind of suitable for a sort of one person walking the coastal footpath in a little sort of one man tent through to, you know, quite large Winnebagos with all the services attached. And then we have 16 self-catering rooms as well. So we've got sort of doubles and twins and triples and quads and small group rooms, which work really well. So you can kind of pick and mix. So we get some people who, you know, granny doesn't really want to camp and has decided to have a nice room to herself while the family sleep under canvas, or, you know, whatever combination works really. And it seems to work really well. And we've always wanted to be a sort of, you know, a budget option in what is a very expensive part of the world, really. Naturally, high season is more expensive than low season, but you get to, you can sort of pick and choose what works for you, really, as a space. And it's we're literally opposite the salt marshes in Burnham Deepdale. And we've got the shops of Dalegate Market next door and the beautiful Saxon Round Tower Church of St Mary's opposite. So it's a fabulous sort of spot to explore the beautiful North Norfolk coast.
I love the flexibility of that. As you say, not everybody wants to camp. So if you can cater for everyone, that's such a fantastic way for people to be able to holiday together. When you're at a hotel, you might ask a concierge, you know, where can I go? What can I visit? Obviously, you're acting as that concierge person for your guests. Where do you start? You've mentioned so many amazing things just then, but there is so much to do. There's a sort of fear of missing out moment, isn't there, in Norfolk? Because there's so much to tick off the list. What's at the top of your list for them?
Well, we actually decided to make our reception a proper full-blown tourist information centre. So the team are really good at helping people find their North Norfolk hygge. And they kind of ask them lots of questions about what it is they want to do. Some people come in with really clear ideas of what they want to do, and others, they just need a helping hand to sort of work out where and what they want to do. But for me, I think that the big skies and the coastline are the two things that really do it for me. And I don't think there's anything better than catching the little welcome ferry out from Burnham Over Estate to the to Skulhead Island. That beach is just absolutely stunning. And most people don't get out there very often, but it is very, very worthwhile heading out there and seeing that stunning beach. No facilities whatsoever, so you have to take everything with you, but it is really beautiful. And you can't really beat walking up Gun Hill on the west end of Holcombe Beach, and you get to see the curve of Holcombe Bay, and it's just another stunning, stunning place. It's just absolutely beautiful.
Now, I'm a little bit new to Norfolk. Oh, I say new. I've been here for 3 years and I'm frantically trying to write down everything you've just been saying. I'm going to have to listen back to the show on BBC Sounds to make sure I note down all of your wonderful recommendations. When it comes to your own free time, I imagine there's not much given that you're in the sort of hospitality hotel industry. But when you want to escape, is it a bit of a busman's holiday? Where do you go? Because you almost don't want to escape Norfolk because it's so beautiful. But have you got any other places around the county that you like to visit?
Well, I love going to gigs in Norwich. I really, you know, I spent an inordinate amount of time at the Norwich Arts Centre and eating in the incredible range of restaurants that Norwich seems to offer. But there's some great little sort of street food spots as well. So things like Fat Ted's in Sheringham, you know, you can't really beat sort of a loaded fries wandering down onto the front at Sheringham and protecting your chips from the seagulls while you're watching the tide come in and out. That's just glorious. And a sea swim at Overstrand can't really be beaten. You know, that's absolutely glorious. So I think every sort of village, every sort of little nook and cranny along the coast is a bit different, and they've all got that sort of special aspect. You know, if you go and go and visit the Norfolk Wildlife Trust down at home, and you know, you walk kind of over from that from the sort of visitor center house over onto the beach there, you know, it is really, really stunning, and almost nobody there, which is just fabulous. And so they're all quite different, you know, in terms of what you can enjoy and see. But that's the thing. Like, and the nice thing is our team at Deepdale, they come from all over Norfolk. So they all have their kind of their little favorite parts, and they all got quite, you know, quite a range of different interests. So that, you know, one of them might be, you know, do a lot of dog walking and therefore knows kind of great spots to kind of wander through the woods at Wild Ken Hill with a dog, or wander through the Sandringham Estate or whatever. But and someone else might come from Wales and knows that area really well and kind of loves wandering over the bank next to the RNNI station and where all the beach huts are on Wells. It's just such a diverse team, and of course our customers are really diverse as well. They've all got sort of different interests, and so it's lovely being able to help them find all those little wonderful nooks and crannies of the beautiful coast. And just, you know, just doing something like the cycle ride in September with the Churches Trust and going and visiting all of these mind-bogglingly incredible churches all over the county is just fabulous. You know, you can't help but just be awe-inspired that, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago these incredible churches were built all over the county. It's just wonderful.
Jason, you can't help but feel passionate about Norfolk when we listen to you speaking about the wonderful county and the amazing things there are to do around and about. So Deepdale Camping, are there spaces, if someone's listening today and thinking, oh, do you know what, I would just love to go up to North Norfolk and have a little time away out of the city. Have you got some spaces, a few pitches left?
It's always worth giving us a shout. You know, when we're coming into school holiday time, and it can be, you know, it can be quite busy. But it's always worth, you know, even if you wake up in the morning and think, I've got 24 hours and I want to escape to the North Norfolk coast, give us a call and see. You know, you can check availability on our website as well. But, you know, if it's really last minute, definitely pick up the phone, give us a call. Our team will be really happy to tell you what's available and see whether they can sort of fit you in. And we'll always do our best to try and fit people in if we can. And it's, yeah, just escape and see this beautiful part of the world. It's just fabulous. And Norwich is one of our biggest markets because people kind of, you know, they're coming away, it feels like they've kind of stepped away from day-to-day life, but actually when they if it all goes south and the weather doesn't behave or the kids don't enjoy camping or whatever, it's not far from home. But it's a great escape and it's really easy to get to.
Sounds like the perfect staycation. Jason, thank you so much for talking to us today and for sharing all your wonderful places around the county. As I say, I've been compiling a list, so thank you so much. Jason Borthwick from Deepdale Camping in Burnham Deepdale. Lovely to have him on the show. And of course, it's all because we're celebrating Norfolk and everything the wonderful county has to offer.
Thank you for listening. We do love putting together this podcast, our magazine programme about North Norfolk. If you enjoy listening, then please do tell your family and friends. And if you have a moment, please leave a review on your favourite podcast app or directory. If you've only just discovered us, then the back catalogue of episodes awaits your listening ears. We'll be back with another episode in September. In the meantime, we hope you enjoy the rest of the summer, wherever in the world you are.
Skies all open wide, geese go high and over. Oh, now you're a beachcomber, fistful of samphire, sea lavender. CS.